first Sunday of Advent, and our location report kicks off for December in the joy of Stuart Park and in a building that prior to this I've just actually seen from the outside. I've seen photographs of what's been happening on the inside. We are, of course, talking about the newly refurbished Askham Bryan College area of Stuart Park, and we're delighted now to speak to that ACE correspondent. It's Lauren Watson. How are you, Lauren?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
Good, Lauren. I mean, just explain to the listener where we're standing at present and what sort of this used to be.
So we're currently in one of the classrooms of Askham Bryan College, but it used to be one of the loose boxes for the horses. So you can still see the steel dividers which would have separated all of the horse boxes.
And of course, since, I suppose, the spectres of horses from times past and so on. You've got wonderful colour design here, because, I mean, clearly, Askham Bryan being an agricultural college, you've got a very green-themed colour scheme to the room.
Yes, a multitude of green as well. We've got sage green, Victorian green, and also the lime green, which is the kind of the modern blended with the old, which we like.
Today, of course, is the Frost Fair at Stuart Park, and I've already wandered through some very interesting-looking traders and food stores and food stands and so on. Just share with us what sort of things are happening today and what the plan of the day is.
So there's over 50 food stalls, things from Korean food to barbecue, pies, absolutely everything in between. We've also, in the visitor centre, got about 15 craft stalls, so jams, bows, cards, cushions, wreaths, all sorts. And then also the Friends of Stuart Park have a visit from the big man himself, so Santa will be here later on today, and you can meet him in his grotto.
Which is fantastic. Now, are we going to have a little audio walk through this particular building at present? I mean, we're in your hands, Lauren. Where would you like to take us?
We can go, there's a few rooms open. We can't open the full building, but we can go through a few rooms downstairs and a few upstairs.
Okay, well, we're with Andy Brown, who's coming to join us from our sister station Radio Hartlepool in the not too distant future, but he may well actually sort of just have to make do with the external stuff. Anyway, Lauren, we're in your hands. Off we go.
Great.
Oh, we've crossed the threshold now. We're actually looking at a sign which says Askham Bryan College, breathing life into learning, unlock the world around you. We'll obviously drop in lots of these brand things as Lauren wears her marketing officer hat for Askham Bryan. So where are we now, Lauren?
So we're in the saddle room. So this is where the equipment for the horses would have been stored. And this is quite an important room because on the external wall, so outside, there's actually the Balcour crest, which we can have a look at if you'd like, with the Latin motto, which means to undertake and accomplish.
It's worth mentioning for our listeners overseas or not part of the Middlesbrough area that Henry Balcour, one of the founding fathers very much of the town, and hence the reason that clearly this was one of his opportunities where he took this to actually build and kind of demonstrate the fact he was really committed to the area.
Absolutely, and so in case you aren't aware, Balcour, he kind of revolutionised the iron and steel industry within Middlesbrough. He was also Middlesbrough's first MP and their first mayor, and because of the kind of blend between industry and politics, he had quite a lot of visitors to the estate, and not just Martin Hall, he also showed them around the Central Lodge, and that's why it's quite a grand working estate, with things like the crest, the coach house doors, they slid open on steel runners rather than opening inward, so he kind of showed off his wealth and his innovation, and basically wanted to show everyone that he was rich and smart.
Students have obviously started here already. They've pretty much almost completed their first term now, really. What's the vibe from the student population?
They absolutely love it. I mean, it's a great place to learn. The classrooms are a really nice size, so we currently have about 240 students. We're hoping to expand that to around 400, and because of the size of the classrooms, it's going to be quite easy to do. But also, the students really are enjoying the history, so we go into local schools and community groups, and we do heritage talks, and the students actually have asked for them themselves, so we've been going into this to their classes and giving them the talks as well, and they've been really enjoying it.
Excellent. Okay, let's continue our little audio coverage as we sort of move out of the opening room, and I say the adventure sport and uniformed public services, which is wonderful from that point of view. We'll follow you up the stairs, Lauren. You can tell by the acoustic that we're getting a nice sort of echoey thing here.
I'll show you this bit as well. So actually, as you go up the stairs, there's a great little piece of history, which is a more mosaic tile image of a kind of like a farmer with a horse, and that's an original piece. It's quite cracked, so we had to protect it behind some perspex, but it's a really interesting piece because actually it's quite continental looking. People think it looks quite Dutch, just through the colours and what the farmers were in, which is quite interesting because Bulko was actually from Germany. So it's a little piece of history that we don't know too much about, but we've been able to preserve.
We'll take a few photographs of this, obviously, for our Facebook page. But meanwhile, let's carry on up the stairs and hopefully go from there, really. It's interesting how, obviously, one person's trash at one era can be another person's history. It's quite astounding what sort of we come to think of as wonderfully artifacty. And obviously, one wonders what will happen in the 22nd century when we look back at some of our stuff that we got in the 21st. So we're at the top now almost.
Yes, so this is where it gets quite interesting because we kind of go from one era to another. So obviously the central lodge was used in the 1800s for Bulko and his estate, but then in the 1900s it was actually used for the World Wars. So the soldiers trained in the park and slept in the central lodge, and we can still see kind of remains from them here. So we've got stencils from the Second World War on these walls here, and we've also got quite a bit of graffiti, mainly from World War One.
That's one of the things that particularly interested me, because, again, that's kind of not quite a living memory, but certainly there are folk who have had grandparents, great-grandparents around from that perspective. And, again, it just shows, again, the multi-use opportunities that are provided here.
Yes, definitely. It's nice to see that the building's kind of adapted to the eras. So obviously it was built for the Victorian age, moving into the wartime, and now it's been brought into the 21st century.
And just looking behind us through the window there, we can actually see the Christmas festive market, the Frost Fair, in pretty much full force there, with people already at this early time on a Sunday morning beginning to sort of browse the sort of great things and goodies that are on offer.
Yeah, so it's going to be a busy day. We normally get about 4,000 people over the course of the day, so we're on track.
Well, Lauren, you've just shown us the areas and locations where the soldiers would have actually slept in the First World War, where they were billeted here before presumably heading off overseas, because clearly in Britain it was a case of training before they were sent off, sadly, to their fates in the trenches. And there's still some that's actually available, but you've had to, in a sense, make sure that it's only viewable for special occasions, because we don't want current 21st century citizens adding to the graffiti somehow.
Yeah, so it has been protected under boards, and those can be easily lifted off if we ever want to look at it, do any surveys, things like that. There has been a full graffiti survey already undertaken, so we've got hundreds of images of the graffiti, so that is, you know, that's available to view if people would like to. But yeah, certainly it's been protected so that no graffiti is added to it.
Yeah, we should really do the same thing with our Southside Broadcasting Studio, which we're having to sort of have a clear out at present, but that's for Andy Brown and myself to sort through in the fullness of time. Okay, so again, obviously acoustically, we're at the top of the building now, and it actually is fine. I mean, we don't have the echo here, and it's nice to see, obviously, the hypertech of the computer system, the screen, no sign of any chalkboards, whiteboards or anything else. It is the 21st century.
It is indeed, definitely. You can tell such a difference, particularly in the attics. They've insulated and cladded, because when we first came up in April, we were going around with our gloves on. It was so cold up here and very dark. But I think with the insulation and also all the wood has been painted white, it's a much brighter and warmer place to be now.
Okay, much like yourself, Lauren, let's continue on. Brightness, warmness, and the, well, not quite dark December as yet, although one way or the other, I suppose the seasons are continuing to develop. And so we're heading out of here into what looks actually like a billiard room, actually, or pool hall that we actually have here. Presumably it's a student recreation area.
It is, yeah. There's two student recreation areas. This is the second one, and we have a snooker table, yeah.
Snooker, billiard, pool, it's all very much a just. And again, I think it's really impressive about this is you've very much made use of glass and lighting, etc. An excellent view of Henry's Cafe just across the way there.
Yeah, it's a really nice view for people to kind of just relax after a class in here. And you can still see the wheel in the ceiling, which would have operated, I believe, the dumb waiters to get the grain downstairs. So definitely preserved as much of the history as possible.
You're listening to Southside Broadcasting and the Midweek Drive on location at the Stuart Park Askham Bryan Centre. Actually, I say that. What's the official title of this, Lauren? Let's be precise.
Askham Bryan College, Middlesbrough.
Askham Bryan College, Middlesbrough. Exactly. And it's right in the middle of the Frost Fair, which we may cover as well, actually, as the hour proceeds. And that was a very brief but very, very fulsome tour of the Central Lodge, part of Askham Bryan College here at Stuart Park in Middlesbrough, which I must admit I'm very impressed with, Lauren. I think yourself and the whole team have done extraordinarily well, as indeed have the builders and the construction people.
Oh, thank you very much. But yeah, I think a lot of it has to go down to Walt Thompson. They were just incredible. And they've really sensitively restored the building. We've got a lot of the heritage still in there, so we're really lucky.
No, very much so. Now, let's look at details for folk who are listening to this, looking at it. Maybe they're actually checking it out on Facebook. And they're saying askham-brian.ac.uk. Is that the best go-to starting point, or will there be open days that you'll be offering for prospective students as well to check this location out?
Yeah, there is open days, but I would say go to the website for information on the days. And then in regards to the project, if they want to learn more about the project itself, it's www.abcstuartpark.com.
And for the average visitor to Stuart Park who might be walking their dog, might be sort of used to this area, might not even realise that this part of the park actually exists, which I did a few months ago, actually, is there going to be a feasibility for folk to occasionally drop in? Or is it just a case of, no, check out Henry's Cafe, and that's pretty much where you can actually sort of enjoy the whole thing?
Well, we'd like to open the building up to the public. Obviously, we have to do it when the students aren't in, so keep an eye out for kind of summer holidays, Easter breaks and things like that, and we'll be trying to open up the building.
Lauren, I think we might do a short little walk around some of the exhibitors, but for the moment, many thanks indeed. I think Andy Brown might be joining us as well. It's been a splendid start to the first Sunday of Advent, as we said. Sunday Christmas preparations have kicked off in force. It's been a delight.
Thank you very much.
From cheese to plants and, what can I say, beeline plants, and we're now about to speak to the fabulous...
Melissa,
clearly you've got the full festive treatment to full force here. Every kind of flora decoration for Christmas is here. Just talk us through what you've got here.
Well, we've got a selection of wreaths, all made with natural materials, and also some candle decorations as well for the table, mainly using sort of seasonal vegetation, holly, ivy.
And all naturally biodegradable, no plastic here.
Well, mostly, yes.
Yes. Exactly. What appeals to yourself, Lauren? Which one for the selection? I mean, are you a bark vase, the small wreaths? I mean, it all looks great.
I really like the Christmas tree decorations. So there's kind of little love hearts made out of cranberry and orange segments, really festive, and I'm sure they smell delicious on your tree.
Was the sort of the smell something you were actually going for? Because I'm looking at one which have sort of bits of orange and various other things, dried fruit on.
Really natural, aren't they? They look lovely on a tree. Really, really special, yeah.
So what inspired you to actually set up the whole beeline area? And obviously it's nice for bees as well to actually see this. What's the sort of background of the company?
Well, throughout the year we sell pollinator-friendly plants, sort of annuals, herbaceous perennials, things like that. And basically want to specialise in plants that pollinators find easy to access, really. So.
And your thoughts on this Frost Fair this morning? Are you quite happy with it?
Yeah, we did last year's as well. It's a really good event. Fantastic, yeah.
So footfall great. And how can people get in touch with Beeline if they're looking to sort of access things that they can't get here today?
Okay, well, we've got a website. We're on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Put in Beeline Plants,
yeah,
presumably?
That's right, yes.
Lauren, I thought I was being attacked by a werewolf. No, it's just a friendly doggy. And you've got a connection with this friendly doggy. I believe you know the owner.
I do indeed, yeah. It's Jackie and Harley.
Jackie and Harley.
Yes.
Jackie, what are your thoughts on the Frost Fair today?
It's lovely. We come every month to the farmer's market, but this one's particularly nice. Got some Christmas presents.
Yeah. And is Harley actually going to be getting any Christmas
Harley's
festivities?
Harley's been to the pupcakes, and he'll hopefully they'll last till he gets home.
The pupcakes, obviously canine-friendly pupcakes.
Yes.
Lauren, any questions you'd like to put now?
Just where you got your pupcakes from, because I think Fidget might need one as well.
Yeah, it's just the next stall to this one, and we come each month, and Harley gets his woofins.
Well, I think without any euphemisms, we need to make a little beeline for the pupcakes at this moment. It's been a pleasure connecting with your good self and Harley. He's looking very good. Very quiet. We'll see you soon. Lauren, we've reached the stage where we have arrived at Evie's Pupcakes. It's not a made-up name. They're genuinely here. Your thoughts on this stand?
I think this is my favourite stand so far, to be honest. I'm kind of eyeing up one of the hampers. I've got a little beagle at home who would love that.
Are these cakes suitable for beagles?
These cakes are suitable for all dogs, especially beagles.
So, are you the legendary Evie?
No, Evie is that little Pomeranian there, sat on the chair in a Christmas jumper.
Oh, wow. I mean, this is going to be the R factor, obviously, the report, Lauren.
It yeah, this is how we're the busiest stall, just because we have a dog.
So does Evie effectively have a say in the pupcake design, in the kind of taste? I mean, now is she kind of a non-executive director of the company? What's her role as far as Evie's pupcakes are concerned?
She is basically the official taste tester and also the face of the business. So everything that we make gets tested by her, and if she approves, then we know it's good because she is a right fussy little madam.
So how long have you been actually in business then?
Since May.
So again, relatively new. First ever frost fair?
First ever frost fair, yeah. So it's been a lovely day so far.
Lauren, any questions?
No, I'm just kind of eyeing things up. I'm definitely going to grab probably one of the hampers before we leave today.
It's a win-win situation. And where will we be heading off after this? Because clearly I can see you being a major wow on the roads of the country shows and Christmas shows, and indeed as we look into the new year, a whole range of things from the Great Yorkshire Show, Lincolnshire Show onwards.
So next week I'm at Seaham, and then I'm at the Sunderland Park Lane Christmas Market, and then the following weekend we're at Wynyard for the Last Northern Dales Market there.
So it's all go, basically. Very impressed to actually connect with her. We will get a few words with Evie, but we might get a photograph if she can be bothered to actually do a little photo of herself in full force.
Most photogenic dog ever.
And presumably people can access you via the web by just typing in Evie's Pupcakes?
Yep, we are on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, and Evie has her own Instagram, so you can follow pictures of her.
Well, the time has come where we have to say it's been a historic day in more ways than one, because not only have we had a chance to look inside the fabulous Ask and Brian refurbishment at Stewart Park, but it's been Lauren Watson's first ever official location report. Yay, Lauren!
Woohoo, yay, finally got in.
Exactly. Did you enjoy your little trip around the festive market today and the sort of exhibitors we looked at from obviously, in fact, you're actually holding as we speak now, goodies from Evie's Pupcakes, but also from the perspective of cheese, from the perspective of Dirac Creations, etc. It's looking very impressive.
It's really nice, and I can't wait to nip around again and have another look around.
I want to ask you what your favourite was, because we've literally just covered a small, teeny fraction of the exhibitors that are there. We may do a couple more with Andy Brown if and when he arrives. If not, you have been listening to Siren FM and Southside Broadcasting on location at the Frost Fair at Stewart Park and the Ask and Brian area. Lauren, it's been fantastic as ever. We'll see you again in the very near future, no doubt.
We definitely will.
And we can say that, as promised, Andy Brown's here. Yay, Andy! How are you, Andy?
Good morning, guys. I'm very good, thank you. It's a nice day today.
Excellent indeed. Now, I've just had a wonderful tour around the refurbished Ask and Brian part of the park. We have had a chat with some of the exhibitors of the Frost Fair. So far, I must admit, I've been very impressed. What are your thoughts? Have you been to Stewart Park before?
I've been before, but not whilst there's an event on like this. So it should be interesting to see around and see what exhibitors have got out today.
Well, let's have a little wander through. We'll do this audio promenade. We'll walk and talk as we head through this. I remind you, you're listening to Southside Broadcasting on location at Stewart Park, just about to walk through the Henry Balco Centre here. Something which I must admit I didn't realise existed until earlier in the year. For some reason, this is a whole area that was 18th century, 19th century, World War I people were billeted here, etc. And it's been completely refurbished.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of this part either. I tend to walk around the outside of the park, so this is a new one, going through the archway now into the entrance.
That's exactly why I thought we might sort of be wandering through that. So, what do you think, right or left? Which way would you actually wish to turn for the first range of exhibitors? Make a decision.
We'll go right. We'll
okay, we're going to go right. Okay, and let's see where and who might be able to actually sort of have a few words with us for this little audio adventure that we're actually having. Well, clearly, engineers always have a nose for the best quality products, and we're delighted now to be right in front of Just Desserts, speaking to
Carol Walker.
Carol, talk us through what marvellous things you've actually got here, because it looks as though you've got everything that anybody would need for a festive session.
It's all gluten-free and vegan. So we've got Christmas cakes, puddings, stollen, panettone, and then all your usual meat pies, cakes, slices.
This is going to be a seller, I know. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Andy, talk to yourself.
Yeah, there's a great range. We've got some of the sweet treats over to the left there, coming across to the savoury, and it all looks really nice, actually.
Thank you.
Yes, I think definitely in the running for a best display area, certainly. Now, Andy is a very hard-working engineer in all sorts of other areas. He keeps us on air, actually. So what would you recommend he should try as a taste today?
Well, the meat pies, which are all gluten-free, they're really quite...
Are you in for a gluten-free mint meat pie?
Yeah.
He's going for a gluten-free mint pie, okay.
We've got steak and ale, chicken and mushroom, or mince and potato.
Well, I think the chicken and mushroom, I think, sounds the...
He's gone for chicken and mushroom. This is amazing stuff. That's the point. What can I say? I'm just overwhelmed by the generosity that we actually get here. I mean, and Andy has got... It'll keep him happy for I won't say weeks, but at least a day. How can people get in touch with you online, or do you have an online service, or is it just come to the farmers market?
Facebook and the farmers markets.
Facebook and the farmers markets, and of course, Just Desserts is the one you need to type into.
Yum.
Just Desserts?
Yum.
Yum. Excellent. It's been tremendous touchy base with a good self. We'll take some photographs as well for our Facebook site, cross-reference. Have a splendid day.
And you. Thank you.
clearly one of the great things about Stewart Park is the fact that it's a sanctuary for all sorts of wild friends and so on. And so it's only right that on the Frost Fair we have, with the brand Giving Nature a Home in Towns and Cities on the Coast, on Reserves in the Countryside, in Woodlands and so on. It's of course the fabulous Royal Society for the Protection of Birds, and we're speaking now to Debbie Jobson, Membership Development Officer.
Hi there.
Is this something which, in essence, people realise that after a good few years of people thinking, oh, sparrows, we're losing them, etc., that actually the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds, if I can get the words out, is just an important part of just life?
Yes. Wildlife gives us such a lot, so we need to look after it. We don't just look after birds now as well. We obviously look after the whole ecosystem. So we're a big, massive conservation organisation, and we care about all wildlife. Yeah.
Andy.
And today, being at Stewart Park, obviously all of the great animals around here, are you getting a lot of people coming and saying hello and talking to you today?
Yeah. Yes, we've spoken to lots of members already, and we're making lots of new members as well. So people are really quite interested in what we're doing and how they can help nature in their own homes and gardens as well.
You mentioned, of course, about towns and cities, etc. Literally, even if you don't have a garden, presumably you can still actually have some sort of way in which you can look after our feathered friends.
Of course. If you can just plant a window box up, you can leave a little log pile in your backyard, hang up bird feeders, put bird boxes up. You don't need a big garden to do this.
And quick name check for your colleague here, who's busily doing all this sort of social media stuff, I think, as we speak. Your name, sir, is?
Hello, Ian Hodgson.
Ian, how victorious are the RSPB? I mean, do you get a sense of we're making strides in this, or sometimes do you despair?
We certainly are, but there are some things that we need to very much improve on, because what 60% of our wildlife and nature's under threat, 30% of that's on the red endangered list, and 1 in 10 is on the critical list, so we've got lots of work to do. And there's lots more wildlife that we need to preserve, not just for our sakes, for our children, grandchildren and future generations. We want them growing up in a world that's full of nature. And that's what the RSPBs are all about.
You've sold me. How can people actually join the RSPB? What's the best way forward if they're listening to this online or wherever they happen to be?
Well, they can come here and do it face to face. It's a flexible donation of what they can formally afford, basically. At the moment...
So presumably go to RSPB, use that your search engine.
.org.uk.
RSPB.org.uk, give nature a home.
Go to our lovely Salt Home Reserve, or come down here today and support us. So we'd love to have them all on board. The more the merrier.
I'm very impressed with the Living Nature hedgehogs as well that we've got there, because that's always nice. I think our station mascot Spike will be very impressed with that, so we might introduce them in a few moments. For the moment, though, to Ian and to Debbie, many thanks indeed. Hopefully we'll come and do a little location report at your nature reserve, if that's okay, sometime.
That would be great. Thank you very much.
Well, we've had a lot of folk who've actually been regulars at the Christmas Fair. They've thought about the Christmas Fair, but not for the farmers market. Now we've brought ourselves, that's Andy and myself, to a wonderful place called Itzama's Cocoa, which carries with it Montezuma, whole range of Mexican quality chocolate. That's where it originated from, and we're delighted now to speak to
David Hughes of Itzama's Cocoa.
David, talk us about Itzama's Cocoa, and was I right then saying there's a kind of Mexican influence or South American influence in the name?
The name I got from one of the Mayan gods who supposedly taught them how to cultivate cocoa, so I thought it would be an apt name and also part of history, which I enjoy, so yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Andy, thoughts for yourself?
It's fantastic. There's a good selection, all different different types. Which are the ones that seem to draw the most interest that you find?
Today has probably been the peppermint creams and the orange truffles. They're probably the ones that have gone best.
Now, Andy hasn't got his good wife and daughter with him at present today, but I'm sure he wanted to do a tasting on their behalf, because I'm sure that your family would not necessarily... They're not into chocolate, are they?
Oh, no, of course not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what would you recommend? Would you sort of say he's good to go for one of these?
It depends entirely on what your taste is. I can go through which samples I have here and you can give them a try. So we've got raspberry champagne, hazelnut praline, orange truffles, white chocolate and raspberry, and a dark chocolate truffle.
Where are you going to go, Andy?
I think it'll have to be the hazelnut.
He's gone for the hazelnuts. This could be the critical one. He's popped the hazelnut in his mouth. He's chewing the hazelnut. It's full routine. Is it thumbs up?
Mm. Oh, that's excellent. That's really
it's a winner. Its armour would be pleased. I can see it be smiling down, given that we've just started the first Sunday of Advent, so its armour probably not connected with that at all. But it's all good. How can people get in touch with the good self if they want to follow through online or otherwise?
I do have a website, which is itsamscoco.co.uk. A quick Google search will also come up with it. You can order there, or you can call or email through the website in order to get in touch, and I'll get back to you.
David, it's been fantastic touching base with the good self. Presumably you're also regular, as we said, at the farmers markets here on a monthly basis. Are you around on location anywhere else as far as the season goes?
Yes. Next weekend there is Wynyard Hall. And then the weekend after that is the Stokesy Christmas Market. So I'll be at both of those as well.